It's good.
It's good.
It's on a lot.
It's on a lot.
The Godhead, the three in one, being intent on this one purpose of bringing us into all the fullness of Christ. And the Father purposing, the Son accomplishing all, the Holy Spirit being our captain of the host, leading us into gaining of our inheritance in Christ. And that's the fruit of the song.
Try to make this easier next time. You don't have to wear
two mics. Glory, glory.
Don't sing yet. I'm going to turn it off over there. It's on. This is on too. But you can sing with this one.
Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the three, the one.
Thank you.
We all praise Him. Our God, the three, the one. Glory, wondrous things for us our God has done. Praise the Father who has purposed. Praise the Son who all has done. Praise the Spirit who is working. Praise the three who work as one. We all praise our God, the three, the one. Give Him glory. Wondrous things for us our God has
done. Thank you that we once again can gather in your name here in our midst. And Lord, we just want to give this time to you. Lord, we want to pray that we will not be overcome by tiredness, but Lord, that we would be overcome by your Holy Spirit and Lord, be full of you and full of joy and Lord, that you would bless this time richly.
Amen.
Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness to us, to speak to us. And thank you that you have given us this time to set apart to look to you. And just pray that even if once again, that we can be still and really still before you and look off unto you, Lord. And just pray that you would just enlarge us and that you would just open us up. Even in ways that we didn't know, we need to hear you. I pray you would use this rest of this day and this afternoon just to speak, and that we would just be available for you. In your name, Lord Jesus.
Can we sing it as you in 198?
Brought the
the sinner near to your throne. All within me cries out in praise, your majesty I can but bow, I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. Your majesty I can but bow,
that we don't deserve what you've given to us, Lord, yet you invited us anyway, Lord. You see who we are, you see what we are, Lord, yet you don't see us. You see the part of yourself that you're willing to have live in us, Lord. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you that it's not about what we do, Lord. Thank you that we're a new creation, Lord. You are making us like you, Lord, and you don't see who we used to be or who our flesh is, Lord, but you only see yourself, Lord. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for opening this way for us, Lord. Give us faith to come into this and to not get overwhelmed when we look at ourselves and we see only unworthiness and just dirtiness, Lord. Thank you that you made the way open, Lord, and we can go through it just if we have the faith too, Lord. Give us that faith. Give us that courage, Lord, because we want to know you, Lord. We want to be with you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Lord, what a privilege it is to serve the King of Kings, Lord, and for you to be inside of us, living in us. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we do praise you again. We pray in Jesus' name.
Into these kingly priests that they have talked about, that we would be your servants living out your testimony, Lord.
Okay.
Can you hand these? Good to be awake in the afternoon. We're handing out some invisible inked paper.
Could give out the glasses in a few minutes.
You can see what's on. Do I need to talk a little bit to see how the mic's working? Can I move forward? Is it okay? What do you guys think? This means like execute, right? The Romans. I'm going to read a scripture in Acts. Chapter 4. Actually, I'm going to start in chapter 3. And we're giving out paper because this is not a message time. This is a workshop time, so we're going to do an activity together. Yeah. So if you have to go potty, just wait half an hour and... when we're going to do our activity then, it would be a great time, you know, to go to restrooms. And so I'll just briefly share a little bit of things and explain what we're going to do. Then we'll do this activity with partners, and we'll come back together, huddle back together, share a little bit more, and we'll finish our time. So that's kind of what we're doing. There's actually no invisible ink on the pieces of paper. They're just white paper. We're gonna fill them out with things and part of the activity that we're doing together. Okay, so there's a story in Acts chapter 3 that we want to look at and kind of use as a picture for ourselves. And before we read this, I'll just pray briefly for our time. Let's pray. Lord, we're here together, just huddled in this room, and we look to you for boldness and for just the reality and the life of Christ in us to shine forth. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us, really speak to our own personal needs and what's going on with us. Lord, you know our frailties and you know our adventures in the past and our history. And Lord, we bring it before you. We just say, here we are. And we just trust this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in Acts chapter 3, it starts out with Peter and John going up to the temple. I'm going to read part of this and then I'll just explain part of the story. So verse 1 says, Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of prayer, which is the ninth hour. And a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb was being carried. And they placed every day at the gate of the temple called Beautiful to ask alms of those who were going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter into the temple, he asked to receive alms. So this is a beggar, a homeless beggar, really. Peter, looking steadfastly upon him with John, said, "Look at us, look on us." And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I have not, but what I have, this I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise up and walk." And he, having taken hold of him by the right hand, he, Peter, raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him, that it was he who set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And as he held Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Peter, seeing it, answered the people, "Men of Israel, why are you astonished at this?" And he went on to share with them a wonderful short gospel message to this group of many people. Solomon's porch can hold thousands of people as far as the listeners goes. At the end of this, verse 4 of chapter 4, just tell you some of the reaction. Many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men had become about 5,000. So this accidental gospel meeting that happened with someone being healed and a crowd being gathered because they recognized this jumping fool, this spontaneous message, 5,000 men were saved. And it doesn't mention what happened with their households and how many others. This is in the book of Acts. This is after Pentecost had happened. Thousands had been saved at Pentecost. And then daily people were being saved. And now 5,000 had been saved. So with this happening, the rulers and the elders snatched up Peter and John and brought them in before them, and because this was a problem. And no one could deny what had happened with this man being healed. And I just want to skip to verse 13 of chapter 4 to see what's happening as Peter and John are with these rulers of Israel sharing with them. It says, "But seeing the boldness of Peter and John..." So these are the unbelieving leaders noticing the boldness of Peter and John. So we want to remember that part. "And perceiving that they were unlettered or unschooled and uninstructed men, they wondered, and they recognized them that they were with Jesus." This is such a cool phrase. "They beheld the man who was healed." And so they went on to talk about this evident sign and what are we going to do. And they counseled and they decided to threaten them not to talk anymore. And so as they, verse 17, "They didn't want it to be further spread amongst the people, so let us threaten them severely to no longer speak at all anymore in this name." So they called them and charged them. Verse 19 says, "Peter and John answered them, 'Is it right before God to listen to you rather than to listen to God? Judge for yourselves For us, we cannot refrain from speaking of the things which we have seen and heard. This is another phrase to notice, the things that they've seen and heard. And then they threatened them again, having further threatened them in verse 21. They didn't find a way to really punish them, so they let them go. So verse 23, having let go, they came to their own company. They reported everything that they said. And here's the picture that's in my mind. So notice that they were bold. Notice that they had just, in a very wise way. Now, amazingly, Peter not only spoke a word of rise up and be healed, he went ahead and reached his hand out. I don't know how many of us would have done that. We might have maybe been crazy enough to say, rise up and walk, and then we're watching, right? But his faith was like beyond his eyelids, and he just went ahead and reached out and lifted him up. This guy would have fallen right down, but except the Lord did something with his ankles. So this is amazing, and really the Lord led them, and then he preached this spontaneous, wonderful message that I didn't read. And then they're bold, and they're around people that are well-learned in the Scriptures, could out-Scripture them possibly. And they were not skilled with regular knowledge, just unlettered men. But their boldness was something noticed. And then, as they were threatened, they were bold again. So these are bold guys. They go back, verse 23, they report to all to the saints all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they all heard it, they lifted up their hearts and they prayed. They lifted up their voice in one accord to God, and they said, now I do want to read this prayer, although it's not all applicable, but I just want to read the flow of this one accord prayer that they all prayed together. Remember how many believers there are at this point? They're probably well beyond 10,000. Now, I'm not saying that there's 10,000 people praying this one prayer, but even if they're in a home gathering, they're probably more crowded than us right now, praying this burdened prayer. It mentions after this section how they were all together, they all had the same mind, the same lifestyle, sharing things. This prayer, even if they weren't all at this prayer meeting, this prayer was the prayer of the whole church, and this experience was for the whole church to experience. So they prayed in one accord to God. I'm in verse 24, and they said, Lord, you are the God who made the heaven and the earth, and the sea, and all that is in them. You have said by the mouth of your servant David, why have the nations raged proudly, and the peoples meditated vain things? The kings of the earth were there, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. And then, so this is, they're quoting some things. And then, for in truth, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you've anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, have been gathered together in this city to do whatever your hand and your counsel had determined before it should come to pass. And now, Lord, look upon their threatenings, and give to your bondmen with all boldness to speak the word, in that you stretch out your hand to heal, and the signs and wonders would take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place that they were gathering shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So this is their experience. We are not trying in this workshop to shake this house, per se. But I want to use this as a picture. I actually feel like if we could come to this experience, we'll be in a good spot. We may have in this room some that have had some history and have led some people to Christ. We won't ask for hands, but maybe you've been there when someone came to Christ. Maybe you've seen some awesome things like this and you have stories to tell. But you still need to huddle together in this room and be filled with boldness. Peter and John could have stepped outside of that prayer meeting, we would think. They could have stayed outside and said, guys, this is what happened. You all need to pray, but we're ready. Just like they talked to those rulers, like, whatever you say, we have to testify what we've seen and heard. But then they go to this gathering and they're like, Lord, give us boldness. You see what's happening to them? They stood up and everyone noticed their boldness. But when they got together, huddled together with all the saints, every single one of us needs to be filled again with boldness. All of us are at the same spot when it comes to proclaiming the word of God in this world. All of us have to be brought to that spot of zero over and over again. And none of us really knows what we're doing. Like, seriously. So, In one sense, we know something, and we have something. We have what we've seen and heard. We have something amazingly they had just there that when a crowd came, they were able to share something. And I think all of us would be shocked. Put 5,000 men in front of you, suddenly you might actually have something to share. And you would be shocked, maybe like, oh yeah, I did remember that. But and put you in the spot, you can be filled with boldness. So it's not something that we gain for the rest of our lives and we don't need to be filled again. These are people that, some of them at least, had originally been filled at Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came. And yet again in this time, they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't mean that they haven't had a history of some Holy Spirit upon them for boldness and anointing types of things. They were well experienced. Yet again, as we huddle together, I feel like this is what we're doing in this room. Huddling together, hopefully we can come to one accord. All of us, including Peter's and John's in the room, including if there's a Philip the evangelist, not yet called the evangelist, but in the room, those gifted, those just part of the church, all of us called in this way, all of us praying to be filled with boldness. And so I feel like that's something the Lord freed me of long ago, and it happened when I moved to Memphis, actually. As I've been considering this time, I've just been thinking more and more of like stories from about when I was 21. And I moved to Memphis for about 10 months. And some of you all I know knew me then. And even some have mentioned this weekend, we remember your brown t-shirts.
And, no, your brown t-shirt.
Yeah. Right. So that's one of my secrets. Not everybody understood. Before I moved to Memphis, I got rid of a lot of my stuff, and I had a backpack when I came, and a box of Watchman e-books, and a Bible, but I did have 4 brown shirts. I bought them all at an Army Surplus store, and they all had holes in them already when I bought them. They were $3 each. And so I think many, including Art, thought I only had 1 shirt, though. I didn't find out till years later. Nobody knew that I regularly took baths and stuff. So where I'm coming from at age 21, I had had some experiences of leading people to Christ. And I had had some big failures, too, and some real neglect. And I'd been unlearning about everything I'd learned about the Lord. And I accept that I knew the Lord. I knew the essentials. I know Christ. But I don't always know if he's speaking to me. I don't always know if what I see in the Word of God is right. So my time here was really one of those times, like trying to figure the Lord out for myself a lot. But while here, I realized I had no boldness, and I was so scared of everybody. The believers weren't that scary, but the world, unbelievers. When I first got saved, I got saved learning in an evangelism training time. So I got saved, they were teaching me how to witness. And so if you're here right now and you're not really saved and you're an undercover unbeliever, I also have been an undercover unbeliever, and it's a good time to get saved. During this time, actually, because we can be pals with the same history. But so I got saved learning how to witness, and I learned this one method using John 3:16 and some picture, and I used it right away with a number of people. And because it was just fresh off my experience, some got saved. Several got saved, and then eventually it stopped working. And then, like, time after time, I got these comments, and it was like, no, that's not part of the story. Wait, let me just show you the rest of this. And they're like, I don't care about that. I'm like way over here. And I'm just trying to help somebody who says, what must I do to be saved? That's all I had learned how to do. And these guys were not even there yet. And so learning a method isn't really it. I had to unlearn my method. Not that it was bad, but it was just like one little tiny thing. And learning that every time I have to not know what I'm doing in order to know how to preach the word with boldness. So one big lesson that the Lord was teaching me was, I don't know how to witness, and I'm never going to really know. And I can always learn, and gradually he'll bring us to be more and more useful, have more and more materials. But in the moment, it has to do with sharing Christ, and Christ is the only one that will lead us through. So if you take our theme kind of picture that we've been using with Joshua, battle after battle in the land of Canaan had some unique tactics, and they had to be led kind of step by step. Like with Jericho, obviously. How do you fight Jericho? And then they learned a strange way to fight Jericho. It's the same with sharing. It's really the same with fellowship. And fellowship, we share what we've seen and heard. When you fellowship, you can't always share the same thing. You've got something really cool, but it doesn't always help somebody. And so in the moment, it's a dialogue and it's a give and take. And so there's this listening, there's this being led, and there's this acknowledgement from the Peters and Johns down to the brand new believers of the 5,000 that maybe just got saved and heard about all this. And maybe some of them made it into this prayer meeting or heard it. All of them are huddled together and they begin their prayer. And they're asking the Lord to fill them with boldness. And we can notice from their prayer, they're beginning to praise the Lord at the start. This is really a secret with being filled with boldness, filled with the Holy Spirit. It starts with, like our brother Taylor Gray was sharing, just the facts and the truths are where we stand. So not like, Lord, actually right now our knees are shaking and you heard. That comes a little bit later in the prayer, but at the beginning, it's like, you created everything. Like, what are they talking about? This is out of context. It's totally in context. So some of you were wondering, why did Daniel Chen start where he started, you know, last night? But actually, totally in context. If you pray like this, it starts with, like, you're God, and you're this big. And see, and then they quote, and they remind God, and you've said this. And then they're like, and you see how scared we are? And you see their threatenings? And Lord, look at this, and fill us with boldness. And then, really, everybody was shaking. But then the whole house shook, and then they stopped shaking. And that's kind of how it worked, and they got filled. And if we use this as a picture with us, we'd like to do some exercises to actually, one, realize we don't know what we're doing with each other. We'll both realize that as we partner up. But two, realize you do have something to work with. And if you're put into the situation to share with the lost, there is something there. Now, the theme verse is to be strong and courageous. And our broad vision of this entering into the land and the inheritance is really covering every aspect of our whole Christian life and of all of God's purpose from eternity. We're looking at this worship time in a very narrow, specific way. But if we see the big picture, this actually touches into everything. This aspect of the assembly life messes with all of the assembly life. So in a way, if you think of their place where they gathered, if I borrow it, I'm not interpreting it, I'm just, if you use it as a picture, where we gather, as far as gathering together with the saints, our assembly, our church group, if the Lord fills us with boldness, there will be a little bit of shaking that goes on. There's a little bit of like, okay, we got shook a little bit. There's a little bit that shakes when a new believer comes in. There's a little bit of a mess when babies start to happen in a church group. Like in this gathering, we have too many babies. And it's a little messy. But it's something like fruitful. And it's something that, in a hidden way, teaches us. And with a new believer, we could obviously say an old believer that's helping a new believer gets revived. You're helping a new believer understand what forgiveness of sins are, and as you're sharing it, you're like, yeah, that's right. And you just got forgiven. And then you keep going. You're helping them understand, like, no, it doesn't work like that. It's not the law. It's grace beyond the law. And as you're sharing something with somebody who's never heard this, it's so good for us. And it shakes us a little bit. But shaking in the scripture is a good thing. It's a thing, it means like, when you shake off the dust from your feet, you shake off things from your clothes, the crumbs off of your skirt. You know that's in the Bible? It's like for men with skirts, right? They get up and... Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's odd. But shake the crumbs off. But or like in Hebrews 12, there's this kingdom that we've received that cannot be shaken. And when the Lord, at the end time, shakes one last time, and he's bringing in the kingdom age... He shakes first in the church, and what's left over is the kingdom that cannot be shaken. So when there's shaking going on in our assemblies, and we use that term sometimes, it's very scriptural. It means like the things that are of man or of the flesh or just not of Christ, they can be messed with. And what's left is just Christ. So a little bit of shaking will go on. Okay, so back to my sad experience as I got here to Memphis. I got here to Memphis and I didn't know any unbelievers. Thankfully, I got to be brought in and live with the saints and work a job. And one thing the Lord was convicting me of is my fear of people. And I memorized verses about it, and I still was afraid of people. And I prayed about it, and I was afraid. And something had just happened previously. I'd had two really bad experiences of failure to be bold and preach the gospel. And one was early on in my walk. I won't go into the details with one of them, but it was just my grandmother had passed away. And then before she had passed away, the night before, I felt to go share with her. And I argued with the Lord, and I knew it was the Lord, but I was a new Christian, and I was afraid. I'd never shared with any of my family, really, and I agreed with my own conscience. I made a deal. I'll go the next day. And then she died that night. So I missed that one, and I still remember, I remember it every time I'm scared of people. And I determined, never again, and I got more bold, and I shared with my family, and I shared more often, and there was a friend. I started to pray for the lost, and I prayed for my friends, and my old best friend, I was praying for him, and his name was Brian. We grew up together, and he's a real Kentucky country boy, and we lived 45 minutes away from each other at this point, so we didn't see each other through some years in high school. And so then I kept feeling for 3 months to go share with my friend Brian. And I was like preparing and training, but he was on my prayer list, so he kept coming up, and I just didn't. And I thought I would eventually have time. I thought, so I'm just expecting to someday get the opportunity. I could have called him anytime. I could have gone and visited anytime. And then I get the call, learning that he had died of drug overdose with cocaine. So I went to his funeral and saw him in the coffin, his friends were all there and his brother. I just had failed to respond to the Lord and share the good news. And it's etched in my heart for life. I mean, I can see, it's a problem right now because I can see him in the coffin, and I just remember the Lord speaking to me thoroughly. And just realizing that the Lord had died for this soul, and the Lord had wanted me to go and share with him. Now, in doctrine and in understanding, I know how big God is, and I know that we have our responsibility, all people have their responsibility, and God has his responsibility. And I know that all that the Father gives to Jesus will come to him. But there's this side of my responsibility and my neglect. So I was in the midst of this type of repentance. If you can understand, this is where I'm coming from. I don't know if you've ever failed, but I failed so thoroughly. It doesn't matter how many times I had helped somebody come to Christ, I had had this etched in my mind. And I came here, and early on, while I'm here in Memphis, we were at a restaurant and waiting to get in to be seated. I think we were at Brother Juniper's breakfast time after one of those brothers' meetings. This is a Greek Orthodox breakfast place. I don't know. But I was sitting there, and there was this guy sitting there, like about like Timothy. He didn't look like Timothy, though. But he looked like a simple guy. I don't,
My wife says I'm complicated.
Right. And I felt this nudge in the typical spot where you feel those nudges, like when you get convicted of sins or maybe led by the Lord. And I hadn't eaten anything, so it wasn't like I had, digestion. And I really felt like, share with him, make friends with him. And, I hesitated. Then I looked at him again, and he smiled at me, and I hesitated. And then I just sat there, and I was like, Lord, I can't do it. I don't know if any of you guys have been so scared like this. This was me. And then as I missed my opportunity, we're there for some minutes, and I'm sitting there, nothing. And we went in to have breakfast, and I thought, maybe later I'll find him, and I couldn't find him. So after that, here's my case. After that, I go back, and I had read some stories of these Christians that preached the gospel like once a day, right? Which I think is crazy. And so I hated my cowardly flesh, of course. This is my repentance. And I said, Lord, even if it kills me, I'm going to give 6 months to preach the gospel once a day. And but I knew no unbelievers here in Memphis, which was a real problem. But I said, I've got to beat this. Now, this is my case. You got to know, before I got married and had kids, like, especially, even now I'm a little, I have some problems, but I was a little bit extreme with my 4 brown shirts and stuff. And like when I saw myself in vanity looking in the mirror at my hair one time in college when I had hair. Why are you laughing? When I saw this, and I walked past one time, and I just made sure it was right, you know, like the Fonz, if you knew that show, Happy Days. I did this, and I was a Christian, though, and I was like, this has got to stop. And so I went and I shaved my head. Like, this is how I would deal with myself sometimes. You know, I went to college, and everybody's like, Jeffrey? You know, my head was bald, and before I was bald. So this is my, I beat my body, make it my slave, a little bit too far, but here's what I ended up doing. And it was a law, it's true. But you know, the law is supposed to lead you to Christ. And maybe the Lord led me into this law, into this agreement. Whether he led me or not, the Lord really used it to let me know that I don't know how to preach the gospel and that it's okay. And so day after day, sometimes I could find some even maybe connected. Maybe it's like a younger crowd or somebody that's grown up, like even gathering, maybe they weren't sure of salvation. Eventually, I searched in these areas, but mainly, I just had to go and walk some streets. So Ben will remember his poor parents maybe set up late sometimes, wondering where is Jeffrey? Like, you know, because I would stay out late sometimes. I was not partying. I had my brown shirt on and my backpack full of books, and I was walking the streets. And every homeless person thought I was homeless. So you know, you think you're going up to homeless people, but they're like, hey. You know, and I was like, oh, wait. Because I had a backpack on, you know. Now I just have all my Watchman Nee books, and I'm going to go sit in the coffee shop. I forget what it's called. It's not a Waffle House. It's like worse, but it's up all night. It's nearby. What is
it?
CK. CK, yes. All right. Yes, CK. I want to find, is it still open?
No.
Oh, all right. All right, so... Anyway, I'd go there, and I'd be there for an hour. And I also was dealing with my own problems, like, Lord, what am I doing in life? And, you know, I'm in one of these cases, so I'm just reading. In the midst of it, I'll find some poor soul sitting at the bar, and I'll go share with him, and then I'll go home and sleep. And so sometimes I could find somebody right away, and I'd go back and go to sleep. Sometimes I might find somebody on the job, but it's not really much. And so every night, this was kind of happening, most nights. But as I go, I never know what I'm going to say. And I'm never prepared because I work all day. And then there's like so many meetings in Memphis. So then I go to a meeting. And then I was like, oh, I thought normally in the past, if I was going to go out and share with an unbeliever, like especially a stranger, I need to like gear up. And I need like 3 hours of prep. And I've got some verses. And I've got everything ready. And I'm praying. I'm like, I feel boldness. And here I go. You know, like I'm ready. But this is like, oh man, I gotta sleep. And it's like, so here I go, and I go drag myself out, and I'm walking the streets, and then I find somebody, and I share with them. And there's no more, like, you know, missing the opportunities, because I'm just angry every night, like, I gotta sleep. And then the police would stop me, which was wonderful, because then I could share with them. So I always prayed for the cops, because then I could say, you know what? I'm glad you stopped me because I've been praying for you. And I was wondering, can I pray for you for anything? And he's like, sir, let me see what's in your backpack. Like, every time. And eventually, there was one night I remember. I had done this a few times with the police, shared with them. And I couldn't find anybody, even CK. Is it Circle K or CK? That Circle K is the gas station, right? CK. Even CK was like pretty empty. And the people that were there, like, I'd already talked to them in the past a lot. So so I was walking, and I was like, Lord, please. Like, it was getting close to midnight, and I was like, I'm so tired. And but thankfully, I was religious enough to keep the law, like, to the spot. And this policeman drove by on the street. I'm like, wait, down. And he drove on, and he didn't stop. And so I sat there, and I was like, Lord, you know. And then he reminded me of somebody on my prayer list. It was actually my brother, my little brother. And he and I said, all right. And so I've been so scared to share with my family mostly. So I called my brother on the phone. This is late at night. It's like, Caleb, are you awake? He's like, yeah, I'm playing video games. And then so I said, can you put the game down and grab your Bible? He said, okay. So he did. And then I just shared from Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And I went through this with him. I was like, do you know what this means? He's like, no. And so I explained it to him. I was like, this actually means if you were to confess Jesus as your Lord, and if you actually believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved just from confessing him as your Lord, just from coming to him and receiving him as your Lord like this. May I elaborate a little bit? He's like, whoa. And then I had no idea he was ready or anything like that. But I've been praying, and the Lord had so cornered me because I'm so scared of my little brother to share with him. And then I say, so do you want to pray with me? And he did, and we prayed together. And I said, do you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? And we went through this, and he's like, you know, I really do. And I feel something, like, in me right now. So he prayed, and this is when he came to Christ. It was because of my desperation. It was because of whatever, and the Lord put me in this spot. One of the only few successes in my 6 months of trying, right? But you can't measure our trying at all. How much help I got trying with these poor homeless people and others that were just up late. But sometimes we get to see somebody come and through and get saved. But at that time, the Lord gave me boldness just when I called him, but not beforehand. I was a little bit desperate. And at the time when I would talk to the police officer, I got boldness right then. But it was just that whole concept of like, just step into the spot and the Lord fills you if we're willing to do it. And the interactions, I didn't always know what to say. And so then it would just come at the moment. Although I was daily trying to prepare a little bit, but sometimes. All right, so another case. I was with my homeless friends. Now, by now, we're all friends. I know their names, and I've written on most of their bags. And I would usually write that verse, so it's like, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Like, this is my main verse. So they knew me in this way. They still, I think, thought I was homeless. But we were all at McDonald's or Burger King. Burger King, right? So there's about 10 or 15 homeless guys, like, chilling there. And we're all sitting at these outdoor picnic table-ish stone things. And then four, like, Lincoln luxury cars with tinted windows pull up. And these really big guys, like, dressed in suits, stepped out and walked towards us all. And these were, like, really big, gangster-looking Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah. So as I've been sitting there like, Lord, how do I share with these guys? Like, what am I doing here with the homeless guys, right? I'm just like, I'm just eating my burger with these homeless guys, you know. And then these guys pull up, and all the homeless guys and girls are like fidgeting and like, oh no. And these guys all come up with their Bibles, and they're like, do you know? And they just start sharing and like strong. And so one of them came, and I started to dialogue with him. And one of the big things is, they'll point to a verse that should have the Lord's name, like Yahweh or something, and then it'll say Lord in all caps, you know, if you have King James or some translations. But thankfully, I used the Darby translation. And it actually, unfortunately, uses the word Jehovah, but it's, in this case, it was the best. So they're like, turn to this verse, and I'm like, okay, here it is. And I read it, and they're like, and it said Jehovah. I'm like, oh. And they're like, and then they try to get, so I was like, yeah, this is Jehovah. And then I actually explained to them why Jehovah is a mistake of the name, and it's a mixture of Lord and Yahweh and whatever. But then he's like, but the kingdom, do you know about the kingdom? And they started telling me, I was like, yes, the kingdom, let's talk about the kingdom. So this is like my favorite subject at the moment. So I went to these verses, they're like, you know. And then by this time, all of these guys were like just around me, like going back and forth on the kingdom. And then they're just like, where do you meet? I was like, you know, and they're like, what's the name of your church? And I said, we don't actually have a name. I just meet in this neighborhood at a big house and with Christians. And they said, you know, you could be a Jehovah's Witness. So anyway, that's how they left. They're like, you know, they gave me bumps and then they left. One of my only cool experiences. But after that, tell you what happened. These 10, 15 homeless guys were like, when they pulled away, they were all like looking at me, and they were like, yes!
I was like their hero for a moment. And I got to share with them a short gospel message with these guys. I finally had their ear, right, and share with them. So anyway, maybe I had like two cool experiences. Most of the time it was just like, hey, do you want to be saved? You know, or whatever I did. But the big thing was that I didn't know what I was doing mostly, but I discovered sometimes I did know a little bit or I knew some stuff. Okay, so what we're going to do is practice not knowing what we're doing and knowing a little bit of what we're doing with these pieces of paper. We're going to partner up. And we're going to, maybe if you could take the paper you've got, let me grab, is this an extra one? No. Aw, no extras from, well, I don't want to use yours. Okay, okay. I'll take this for now. Oh, he already did it, this guy. Okay, so, here's what we're going to do. You know what they said, we can't stop testifying of what we've seen and heard. So we're going to start in our partnered groups. If you take this side, or one of the, if you fold it in half, then you got kind of four spots. One of these things, just write the words seen and heard. And one of the beginning things that we are all equipped with, we're doing this exercise not to equip, but to show we already actually are equipped a little bit. We have some equipping from the Lord already in this room, every single one of us, except those that are hidden, unbelievers, and this is the time to get saved, right? So in this part, seen and heard, and this is where we're going to, now we're going to give a minute while you're getting together with your partner to kind of jot some thoughts down ahead of time or thinking, and then, so kind of write three bullet points, and it's just before, during, and after, if that makes sense. Now I'll give this to you so you can do it over here. Oh, you got another one, okay. Okay, so hopefully this makes sense. I would write at the top. You guys getting paper? Is that right? We have extra. They need some over there. Raise your hand if you need extra paper. Okay. So what I've seen and heard, and this is like I've experienced the Lord, and this is what I'm going to share. Now, actually, when we fellowship, this is what we do, right? We like in 1 John 1, like what we've seen and heard, these things we write to you, that we have fellowship with each other, just like the Father and the Son have fellowship, and this is our fellowship. This is like similar. When we share with an unbeliever, we're sharing what we've seen and heard. The difference is they haven't seen and heard it yet, so there's not the bouncing back and forth just yet, unless there's an open heart and then they receive it. Then it turns into fellowship because they get saved. But so you're sharing something that you've seen and heard. Now, so if you write before, during, after, this is the general basic outline of an example guy, one of our heroes, Paul the Apostle, at what he does when he shares what he'd seen and heard. His default, even though he's so skilled at preaching the gospel, his default was, here's my story, how I got saved. Now, he has a really cool story. But anyway, just to notice, when he gets in this big crowd, I mean, there's the story mentioned in Acts chapter 9, and you read that, and it's him sharing it with Luke, so Luke writes it down. It's kind of matter of fact, and it's within its right context. But then he shares it again later on. I think it's in Acts chapter 22. So as Paul shares it within the storyline, and he's sharing now with a big crowd of Jews in Jerusalem, and he actually shares in the Hebrew tongue, Hebrew language. And he shares it a unique way, but it's still before, during, after. Before I got saved, this is what I was like, kind of, in his case. And this was my experience of how it happened. And then he always mentions something a little bit afterwards, like of the Lord's commission or of some experience afterwards of his changed life. He mentions this again, the story comes up, I think it's in Acts 26, is when he's before King Agrippa. You know, this is where this famous verse is like, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. This is him sharing his story again. He shares it slightly differently. They're not all Jews. They're a little bit acquainted with the scriptures or with the Jewish practices. So he leaves some things out. He puts some things in. And this is the same with us. When we share of some experience, now I'm saying an experience because I'm imagining in a room like this with some of us having parents that are believers, sometimes we accidentally got saved and we didn't even know when it happened. You're like praying for breakfast and then suddenly you hiccuped and then you're like, I've got something, you know. and you got saved. And maybe the parents notice it a few months later. They're like, something's different. But you can't always tell when it happened. And you can even say, that's part of your story. Like, I grew up in a Christian home. I don't know when I got saved. But I remember some memories of experiencing Christ. And also, sometimes you can share a recent experience. It may even be more applicable to someone. Like, if you're sharing with someone who really needs comfort, and maybe when you got saved because you were scared of hell. That's a little bit different than their need right then. But maybe you did need comfort a year ago when something happened. And you share with them your experience before, during, and after of when you were comforted with the comfort of Christ. And so then you're sharing with them. It is the gospel because the good news is the person Christ. And when you share what you've seen and heard, you're sharing him. And so this is really the way we share Christ. Okay, so this is our our exercise. It's okay to share some current experience of Christ, but if you want to share your story of how you came to Christ, even if you mention it. So we're going to partner up. It would be nice if you partnered up with someone you don't know well, and otherwise it doesn't really matter. Okay, now the next thing we're going to do, I think we're going to do all these two things at the same time. And we'll like mention a ding, like time to switch, right? If you haven't switched yet, we'll mention some timer thing. The next thing we're going to do is I want to give you a few scriptures to choose from. And we're going to do this exercise, which I call the Ethiopian eunuch message. It's Philip the Evangelist's experience in Acts chapter 8, where the Lord led him to the desert area, and he sees this caravan going through, and then there's a eunuch from Ethiopia riding along, and the Lord nudges him to run up next to that chariot. And so he, in all boldness, in all foolishness, not knowing what he's going to say to this guy, he really doesn't know Ethiopia that well, I'm guessing. And he goes up to this guy, and this guy happens to thankfully be reading Isaiah. and he says, "Do you know what you're reading?" And he says, "No, how can I unless someone tells me?" And he was in Isaiah 53, verses 6 and 7, I think. It would be good if you wrote that down. Isaiah 53, verses 6 and 7. Now, if it had been Isaiah something else, even Philip might have had to be like, "You know, I really don't know what you're reading either, but let me turn to Isaiah 53 and share something with you." It might have been like that. And I think this is our case a lot of times. Somebody's like, "I'm reading this thing and I don't get what it means." And you just have to say, "You know, I don't get it either. But I do get this other chapter and let me share this with you." But let's pretend you have an easier case like the Ethiopian eunuch who happens to be on one of the most awesome verses. So I'm going to give a couple of more sections of scripture for you to choose from. You can choose the Isaiah 53, 6 through 7. And if I'm wrong on the verses, just check and see. It's around there. Let's see. 7 and 8, sorry. Isaiah 53, 7 and 8, not 6 and 7. Or here's another verse. Let's do John 3. Verses 14 and 15. So jot those down next to it. Whichever one you choose, your partner can't choose the same one. Sorry. And then John 3, 14 and 15. Verses 14 and 15. Now, of course, you're opening up the Bible, so you can use some of your context. Another one is Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. This is a super easy one, seemingly. So what we're going to do with this one is you have to draw a picture because you only have, in each of these cases, you only have 5 minutes. So this is your scenario. In the case where you're sharing your story, let's imagine you're in a parking lot, you just left work or you just left your college class, and you're there. It's a little chilly, but chilly enough to, not too cold. You could still talk a little bit, but not like you can talk there for an hour. And it's more like a 5-minute parking lot talk is pretty good. But they're just like, "Hey, so I saw you reading your Bible. How'd you become a Christian?" You're like, "Here we go. 5 minutes. Before, during, after. All right, this is your time." Now that one, you don't have to draw anything. I just wanted you to write that down. And while you're getting to a spot or a corner to sit and talk, you could jot a couple of notes down if you wanted to. You're not going to give it to them or leave it with them. You could eventually make a tract out of your story. It'd be wonderful. This sister in Richmond just got up and shared at an open sharing time. She'd read it. She'd written out her story, And it was for all of her family for the holidays. And she gave it to, she read it in front of all of them, you know, for the holiday time. I think maybe for Thanksgiving or something. But I asked her afterwards, like, would you like to print that? And so we're making it into a little tiny tract for her to be able to give out. Because she's a tract lady. She gives them out. But this one, you're not going to, but the other one is a tract. The one about either it's John 3 or Isaiah 53 or, what was the other one, Matthew 11? With this one, you're at the end of your convo at a coffee shop with your long-lost friend, and you've got about 5 minutes left in your conversation, and you're like, it's now or never. And the boldness little nudge comes to you, and you start to step out. And you know that when you leave them, they may never step up to a Christian again. So you want to leave them with something to remember what you shared, and maybe even have a scripture reference or something like that. So you're going to leave them with this. So in your explanation in some way, it doesn't have to look really cool. It doesn't have to be a picture of what you're reading. But in some way, if it's a bunch of scribbles or you know, some octagons or whatever it is, if it matches with what you shared, that's okay. It just has to trigger your sharing, your explanation of those scriptures. So you're sharing with someone who says, you've been talking and they say, well, what must I do to be saved? It's an easy target. It's an easy person, somebody that's open. So you're not having to explain a lot of stuff with them or whatever. I recently was at an evangelism training time, and we did a different exercise, and it was actually with, we were doing reasoning from the scriptures, and we were dealing with all these hard questions. And so we had this one about like these swords. And but anyway, this guy got up, and they actually did some. This wasn't, some of you are at Toronto. This wasn't what we did at Toronto, but they had to act it out. So somebody was pretending to be the unbeliever. They got up to act it out, and this guy, it was really funny. But he's sharing from this, and he goes through, like, he didn't actually answer the question that well, as far as like the, you know, why did Jesus tell him to get swords one time, and then another time Peter chops off Malchus's ear, and Jesus is like, put your sword away. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. And he picks up the ear and squashes it back on and heals the guy. So that's the case. Like, why did he do this? This is a contradiction of the Bible. So this guy's up there reasoning. His reasoning was so unreasonable, but he got to this picking up of the ear, and he's like, and that ear is like your ear, and your ear is dropped, and your ear's been cut off by the word of God, by the gospel, and it's either that you don't hear, or you let Jesus pick up your ear and put it back on you, and you hear, and you obey. So good. Now, that was neat. So if you go wild and you're like, I don't know what this means, but like, that's okay. As long as you're not like, as long as you can say, I don't know the answer, and then, but let me tell you about your ear. You know, that's okay. So anyway, these are not hard scriptures. These are like, you know, Philip the evangelist, even though he's an evangelist, he runs up and he hears Isaiah 53 and he's like, whew, this is like the gospel message in the Old Testament. Okay, so right now, we'll take this break. And remember, we're going to rotate kind of every 5 minutes. So it'll be 5 minutes roughly on the sharing of my what I've seen and heard of Christ. And we're going to, this is like genuine, so it's not like I was once. You know, I mean, we're just like talking to each other. We are believers. If you're not a believer, then just say, I'm that guy who's talking about, you know. And be like, and then maybe even it could come up like, well, what do you think's hindering you? And maybe you grab another person or just help each other right there to come to Christ. So if you need backup, just, you know, raise your hand or something. Like, I need backup, he's ready to pray, but I forget. How do you pray? And then, you know, somebody will help you. But so we'll do that, and we'll split. We'll come up and mention from the microphone, like, time to rotate. And then also do your sharing from one of those three verses, and that sharing has to include the picture. If you want to, you can, whoever gets to keep the picture, I don't know. You probably could keep your own picture, unless that person really loves it and they can have it. okay, so let's break. Is that okay? What's that? No?
We might have the same question. So for first 5 minutes, we'll do the seen and heard, and then the next 5 minutes, we'll do the verses. Or should we read the verses now and then break?
Yeah. No, so let's pretend we got two people, me and Timothy, not the simple guy. And then, so I share with him what I've seen and heard. Then somebody on the mic says, ding, or says, time to switch. And then Timothy shares with me what he's seen and heard, some experience of Christ. And then they say, time to switch. Now then I go, all right, Isaiah 53. And then I share and I draw my pictures next to him, right? My picture? On the spot, it's my napkin gospel tract. Remember,
mnemonic device sort of thing to help convey the message.
That's right, mnemonics. You guys all looked at me and realized his boldness, although he was an unlettered unschool man. No, yeah, it's a picture to match with what you're sharing. So you don't have to be able to draw well. You can use stick figures. You can draw. One time I saw somebody do it, and they drew a spiral picture. And then I asked, like, how is this connected? And they're like, you know, I couldn't think of anything connected, but I was just doodling while I was talking, and I think it dazed them. So, all right, so don't do that. So then I draw my picture. Maybe mine has to do with Isaiah 53. So I'm drawing whatever you would draw with, you know, sheep or something. And then Timothy draws his, and his is to do with John 3, 14 and 15, which is when Jesus is lifted up as a serpent on a pole. It's really odd, kind of. Does that make sense? And then we'll come back together. Hopefully we can do this in about 30 minutes. Ready? Go ahead.
So does your drawing correspond to one of the scriptures or what you shared in your scene?
Just the scriptures. So what you've seen and heard, you don't have to draw. You can just freestyle, talk. You can, you know, use your eyes and blink. You don't have to do anything. You only draw when you you're sharing from the scriptures. You guys with me?
Yes.
So sharing from the scriptures, somebody says, "What must I do to be saved?" You've got 5 minutes at a coffee shop. You look around. You forgot your tracts. You've got your Bible, and you've got three verses that you remember that are highlighted in your Bible. It's those three that I said. You can choose from one of those. In 5 minutes, you find a napkin. The waitress gives you the pen out of her ear, and you know, like when they put it there. And then you start to draw. You're like, all right, let me show you. So that's what you're doing. More questions with that? Okay, what was the question? Oh, you were saying yeah to her, right? Okay, so can we scatter around the house a little bit? Is that okay? Or just move around? Find a partner. Let's all stand up, find a partner, and try this out. Go.
Your partner.
Huh? I'm gonna bounce around.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, find another partner. Okay.
How do we start this? How do we start this?
Pick one to go first.
Jeffrey, are we actually supposed to pull these out, or we just talk?
You can just talk.
She also just noticed it, not wanting to be her partner at all.
I just asked her, I said, oh, do you want to be my partner? And she said, I can't do this. And then she walked off. But I don't want to just leave her. And I don't know what to do. I don't know where she is. Maybe there's someone else.
Okay. Do you think it's possible to catch her now or a later time? Maybe you can pray. Okay. Do you think you can catch her now or later?
Whenever we see her.
All right. Yeah, you can do a group of three. No problem.
That's something I want to say. Would you repent right now? No.
Yes.
That was good. Thank you. Well done.
That's half of our time. Then.
Right. I'm.
Right. This is fun stuff, I think.
Yeah, that was good.
Right.
Wait. Yeah.
I'm not saved. I'm a lost sinner, really mess, and she's trying to save me, right?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I told you that.
So share your story with him.
Okay.
Right? That's the first part.
First part, share your story.
Okay.
I'm a bad guy.
We have 2.5 minutes left. 2.5 minutes.
So this is how I want
people realistically. Now I'm actually the 10th choice. So I'm not going.
2 minutes left.
Just
2 minutes left.
So that I am. Wait a second.
Hey.
Oh,
do you ding to switch stories or do you ding to go to the next one?
Oh. Okay.
But if you're done, you can go ahead and switch.
Okay.
Yeah. So you don't have to take up the whole time. Yeah. We have 6 minutes left. If you haven't switched, try to switch sometime in the next minute.
Can we have a grace period?
You can have grace. Yeah.
After those 6 minutes, are we doing the drawing next? All right. Very good.
I don't know.
Okay, it's time to pull out our napkins and our napkin gospel tracts at the coffee shop. Now we got to start to share from one of those scriptures.
She's not saving me yet.
Maybe you need a napkin tract. So we could finish some of the stories later, because some of our stories, like, we want to share a lot more. So, but this is the normal experience that we end up getting cut off. So we realize the time issue, even when we're witnessing. Sometimes we only have a little bit of time. Now, if you need to finish, like, one paragraph, of course, finish. But let's try to pick one of us to start to draw the picture and share and expound on one of those verses. Okay.
My friends up at that site had been like always very respectful of me, who didn't swear.
When you guys are ready, we can switch to the napkin tract thing. Okay. You can switch to the napkin tract when you guys are ready. Okay.
Yeah, but we're on Isaiah, right?
Either one of them.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you can do another one. She has just tried to do it now because she failed to save me before. So, she's going to try this one.
5 minutes later, I can't remember what it was that I said.
What does that mean?
As you're explaining the scripture, you're drawing so, links to that.
Nice drawings.
That's a demon.
Oh, I like this one.
Can you tell?
She got the snake on
the serpent on the stick? Awesome. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Are we?
He's too good at acting. Whoa, I like that. That's good. The problem with this guy is he's going to talk and not draw.
Well, we were wrapping up this.
Okay, okay, keep going.
I just wanted to wrap
yeah, you finish, you finish.
I don't know.
5 minutes left for all sharing. Just 5 minutes for everything. So whatever you got to finish sharing, you only have 5 minutes. Okay. Huh? This is the last 5 minutes. This is our last 5 minutes. Last 5 minutes. Another room. Last 5 minutes to finish everything. I keep forgetting to come in here and tell you guys to switch.
Okay.
I hope you've switched a couple times. At all? Okay. All right. Well, we got about 5 minutes just for everything. So if you haven't started drawing pictures or anything, I forgot about this room.
Should we switch? Everybody switch.
No, I mean same partner though.
Oh, yeah. We have switched.
Now we're done.
Great. Okay. Good. Okay.
So, Jeffrey, hope I didn't offend you by making fun of
you. No, I'm glad you mentioned that. It's true. Actually, a lot of people mentioned that to me.
No, I mean, I don't know. It didn't.
I mean, nobody would know. It's the same. Like, it's
that
different.
You had more than one.
Yeah.
How come? What made you leave? Why did you leave?
Memphis?
Yeah.
I went to help Lance Lambert for 2 years. So
oh, okay.
I was one of his bag boys.
I was trying to remember. I was talking to Cedric about that this morning. I was like, hey, he went to Lance.
Yeah, that's what it was. He was desperate.
Kentucky.
So he took me.
Went back to Kentucky.
Then after, I went back to Kentucky and got married. Yeah. And then 2 years later, I went to Richmond to help Brother Kong.
It's funny, everybody who ended up going off with him shortly after they got back got married, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Scott
yeah,
was like telling...
Two years of maleness.
Scott was telling me his story, you know?
Yeah.
And then the guy who recently helped him from England or something?
Oh, yeah, he got married.
His name was Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways.
What is this to do with?
Oh, so listen here. There's a dude here with all his packages, right?
Oh, is this Matthew 11, 28?
Yeah, and he's just walking down. He's really burdened, you see, because he's sad.
I see. He's weighted.
Yeah.
Heavy laden.
Here comes Jesus, who is not a girl. He's just long, flowing golden locks. Yeah. You know? He's got this
you know,
cart.
Shoes and their blonde hair.
He's got this cart, and he just wants, he's just ready to fill it all up.
I like it. What'd you draw?
I drew a sheep.
Oh, nice. Do you have Isaiah 53?
Yeah.
Okay. What's wrong with the sheep?
Kind of looks more like a cross between a dog and a pig or something.
Yeah, I thought maybe it was like the sins were upon him or something. Well, that's a good sheep, actually. That's his wool, yeah. Okay.
You know, like...
Mm-hmm. Dude.
Everyone's pretty good.
I know. Yes. Is this the... Oh, nice. Okay.
Matthew 11.
Matthew 11? Yeah. What'd you draw?
Carried our sorrows. I think I went to verses before, and I was like, oh.
No, that's fine, yeah. Everything, you know, could start there.
I was sitting on the side. I used to dance competitively.
Something that you can remember me by.
What'd you draw?
I draw an ox.
Oh, nice. Yoke together?
Yep.
I like it. Is this a yoke? Nice. Have you done yours? Where's yours at? Let me see.
No, I'm doing it now.
Oh, good. Okay.
And all I have to do is
I just like to see the pictures. It's kind of
cool.
This is a hard one. So which verse did you do? Nice. We carry the sorrows. Yeah. This is great, man. You did Matthew 11? I meant hard, like it was a hard verse that it looks like you. Not like it's a hard picture. Wait a minute. Let me see your pictures.
We drew them.
I want to see.
See? Front page.
All right.
This is Isaiah 53. Oh. The lambing led silently to the slaughter.
You know,
this
I would have.
The father's got the leash.
I would have written the verse if I was going to leave it with him.
Take John 3:14-15, an example of how Nicodemus knew he had minor symptoms but didn't know how serious he was.
This is in the hospital. Very unique. Yeah. He's an ambulance, right?
Yeah. It's just talking about how people tend to try to do stoicness about it. You know what I mean? Like they go to like anger counseling, but they don't realize they have like 12 other issues and they need to get
saved. Nice.
You kind of just get
the
I thought it was good. That's good.
I don't know.
Abel's like overboard here.
I know. I'm trying to draw the.
Where's your picture? Did you do one?
We're gonna share the same.
Yeah,
we just thought we'd talk through all the scriptures and try and come up with a plan.
I like it. All right.
I've never done the picture thing before.
It's hard, isn't it?
Well, I actually started just sharing, then I was like, I was supposed to draw a picture.
Which verse did you use?
The golden calf.
Okay.
The fiery serpent.
Yes.
So
yes.
I was going to go back up.
What did you use?
We're still on the first one.
Okay.
We only did the first one with him on the other one.
Oh, okay.
We thought we were going to get a buzzer halfway through that time.
We did, right? I kept saying, okay, 5 minutes, switch.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I must have.
You were like going. Five, four, three. Okay, when you're done, you can gather back in. Our time is up. You can finish what you had to say. People gather. What? Time to gather back in. Time to gather back in. Time to gather back. Time to gather back in. I'm sorry. I just don't know this house that well. So I have 10 more minutes to share.
You got what? Okay.
10 more?
Yeah.
It's okay?
It should be. Yeah, we'll just cut discussion groups down a little bit like we did yesterday.
Thank you for saying it. I'm going to try to work on this until I see you next time.
Yeah. you guys have a funny picture?
Oh.
Let me see. Which scripture is it?
Oh, yes.
Heavy burdens?
Huh?
No. Which one is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's got to be the heavy burden.
Yeah, okay. Like it.
Is
this yoke?
Like
it's what?
It's supposed to be the yolk, but I don't know.
I like it. I recognize it as a yolk. And this is the snake. So did you find like the Old Testament reference to it?
Oh, I talked about the story.
Okay.
He turned it off. Oh well.
Here.
Hello. Hey, let's find our seats. Jeffrey's got about 10 more minutes.
Sorry. Let's turn to John chapter 4. We're going to read a few verses and just share one last thing and do one last thing together really quick. Something I hope we can catch from this practice with each other. I was really glad to see there's like genuine fellowship going on where, and people are really trying. Some were very good actors. I didn't even tell you to act it out, but I'm glad some did it like a skit. That was cool. And some are very good artists, and some are really bad. But it doesn't matter because it's your doodles, and it's what someone's going to remember. So I think something that especially, like I said, we wanted to realize is we have seen and heard something. That just means, like, you know, seeing is like I understand something. And hearing is that I've experienced something. I've walked in it. Like it has to do with obedience, really. So to see or hear, it means like it's my own testimony of some experience. So it's all those aspects of it. It might not be like that I did something, but I saw something. Or it might be that I did something, even though I didn't understand it, but I met the Lord. And to work with those verses, some of them were not so easy. I think John 3 with the snake on the pole, I think that's hard enough for people to actually in this country say, what do that mean? You know, like, depending where you live in this country. But it is confusing, like, Jesus like a snake on the pole? But some I'm glad picked that one. And maybe some remembered where it's at in the Bible that he's referring to. And the yolk, like, not everybody knows a yolk besides the yolk with an egg. So that's a good one. So it's a real one that someone might ask you, like, what does this mean? Like, yoked with me? Like, so, and then Isaiah 53, it is Old Testament-ish enough to say, who is he talking about? Like the Ethiopian eunuch did. Okay, so we're back huddled in our room. There's probably still some people that can't, that are back in a room maybe, but I wanted to just finish with kind of a thought about this, and about this, if our house shook, and then we go forth with boldness. Now, what we've been doing is just realizing that we got to come to the zero spot and say, I don't know what I'm doing, and also, I do have Christ, and I know a little bit. Kind of, somehow that has to balance out. A little bit of confidence in knowing the Lord can give me something. Even though we've been practicing, it's kind of silly, but the Lord can give us something. We have had some help in the past. We have read some verses. We do know something. But also to be open enough to be like, Lord, I don't know, I'm not ready, but you have to lead me for this next battle. So that if those two things are happening, I think we're in a good spot to be filled. Now, the rest would be in our own. They were actually praying, and they were declaring the Lord, and they were praying for the lost, and they had the desire to be filled with boldness. So our next activity is just going to be, we're going to stick in this room. I'm going to share a little bit, and I just want to finish with, I'll pray, and if we can all pray in one accord, not like one written prayer, but pray what's on our hearts in a similar way. Pray for the lost. It can be someone that you know, you can mention their name or something, or it can just be in general, or it can be praying for opportunities. Like, we may be like, I was here, I had no opportunities, it seemed. But we do have opportunities if we are asking the Lord for it. So this is something I want to show here. In John chapter 4, this is after Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, and she's a lonely woman, and he comes as a lonely man, and he needs something to drink, and she needs something to drink. He shares with her. She seems to receive it and believe and respond. But then as she leaves, his disciples come up. She went and told everybody. His disciple in verse 31, the disciples came up and said, "Rabbi, eat." And he said to them, "I have food to eat that you don't know about." This is just a really cool verse here. And his disciples are asking, "Does someone bring him food?" And in verse 34, Jesus said, "My food is that I should do the will of him that has sent me, and that I should finish his work." Now notice there's doing God's will, and God has sent him, the Father has sent him. That's his food. This is important to catch with this picture I want to show from this. So then he says, this is actually connected. I don't usually connect it, but don't say, verse 35, "Do not say that there are still 4 months until the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and behold the fields. They are already white to harvest." Okay, so right here he just wants them to realize the time is now to go into the harvest. Now he's talking about the harvest of the gospel. He's talking about this woman that just got saved, and he just did the Father's will by sharing with her, and that was food to him. So that was his food right there. And the harvest was right then, even with a Samaritan woman. Now actually, it was going to be more than 4 months before they got to Samaria with Philip the evangelist, right? But this woman got saved anyway. So the time is actually right now, he says. Okay, so here he's mentioning the harvest, and he's like, don't say it's not time. Now, later on, we go to Matthew chapter 9. And just right at the end of Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, 38, right before this, he'd been doing some gospel kingdom preaching, and there was a big crowd, and it says he had compassion on the crowd. And then in verse 37, he says, "Then he turned and he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is great, the workmen are few. Pray, supplicate therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth workmen unto his harvest.'" So this is the Lord Jesus telling his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest. He's referring to the Father. Now remember that Jesus also says, "All that the Father gives to me shall come to me." And remember, like in Matthew 16, he says to Peter, when Peter confesses, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," he said, "It's the Father that revealed that to you." So the actual king of the harvest is the Father, as far as in the Godhead goes. But Christ, the Son, is saying, pray to the Father. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send workmen into this harvest. And then right after that comes in chapter 10, he called together, probably they prayed, maybe they even prayed right there together. But then he gathered them together and he set apart the 12. And he, in chapter 10, verse 1, "Having called him, his 12 disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits, so that they should cast them out as demons and heal every disease and every bodily weakness." And then it names the 12, verses 2 through 4. And then verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent out when he had charged them. And he said, 'Do not go into the way of the Gentiles or into the city of Samaritans. Do not enter, not yet, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. Heal the infirm, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You've received gratuitously, right? Give gratuitously. Do not provide for yourselves with gold or silver or brass or for your belts nor script for the way. Don't have two body coats nor sandals nor staff. Don't have extras. The workman is worthy of his nourishment." And then here's something important I want to catch as far as a principle. He says, "In whatever city or village you enter, inquire or ask who in it is worthy." Worthy of the gospel. It's kind of neat. "And there remain until you go forth. As you enter into a house, salute it or greet it. If the house indeed is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you." Okay, now a similar experience happened a little bit later in, let's look at Luke chapter 10. And there, so before he named the 12, so right at that time, then he sent out the 12, and he sent them out to the lost sheep of Israel. Remember that part. And another thing for us to remember is he had asked them to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth workmen. And I'm just going to quickly, while maybe you're turning to Luke 10 or something, just mention what it says in Romans 10 about the good news and receiving. And it says in verse 13, like, everyone, whoever, that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? But then it goes through this pattern. And it says, how can they call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how can they believe on him of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear unless someone preaches? And how can they preach unless they're sent? Right? So this is the normal circle of life for the gospel preaching experience. The Lord of the harvest first sends. Then the servants in the harvest go forth and preach. And then someone hears the word, and then they believe the word, and then they call upon him, and then they're saved. This is God's normal way. We don't have to always rely on the Lord just providing a wild dream or some nature speaking. He's got the church now. So the Lord of the harvest wants to send forth the workmen. And it comes not just to the 12, it comes to all of us. We know probably about the Great Commission. We'll look at it just next. But before the Great Commission came, after Jesus rose from the dead, these things were happening. These commissions, these miniature commissions, they're kind of precursors. So in Luke 10, he says in verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. And when he sent them two by two into every city and place where he was about to come, he said to them, the harvest indeed is great, but the workmen are few. Supplicate therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he may send out workmen unto his harvest. Behold, I send you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves. Now this time, he shares with them really that it's going to be more dangerous. And this was just their experience. At first, when they go into the house of Israel, the Lord Jesus is still popular. Later on, as they go further on and he's going the way of the cross, he stops being as popular. It starts to get dangerous. And he's also warning them about future dates where they're going to be persecuted. They're going to go into areas and they're going to not be welcomed. And so both of these times, he says the same thing about go into the place and look for a man of peace. And if they will receive you, then stay with them and work with them. So there's this seeking out of a man of peace that I wanted to bring out with there. Okay, now we're going to come back to all of this. Just lastly, at the end of Matthew in chapter 28, probably some in here have this memorized. This is when he's about to ascend and he's giving the great commission to go and make disciples. and even when they gathered together here in Matthew, it says they were worshiping him and some doubted, depending on your translation. Or some were at a loss, like what they hesitated or something. Okay, but then in verse 18, Jesus coming up spoke to them and said, all power has been given to me in heaven and upon earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them to the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have enjoined you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. Does that sound familiar? As he sends them out. Now this is, I think almost the whole church takes this as a commission for all, not just the 12, not just those 70, but now he does say, behold, I am with you to the completion of the age. I'll just read this in case it's hard to catch. In Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Don't be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. As they went out here, he's telling them, and he mentions it another time in Acts, as he's giving the commission in another setting, he's just saying, you're going to share in Jerusalem, and then in Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the world. But as he sends forth, they're in a way entering into the inheritance. Now with them, they're actually conquering land in a literal gospel-ish way, like going into cities and finding the man of peace. And if you use our picture with the city of Jericho, who would be the man of peace in that city? It'd be the one who received the spies into her home. Right? Who was that?
Rahab.
Right, Rahab. And she welcomed them. She actually became part of Israel. Now, unfortunately, that whole town got wiped out. But she gathered in her home, her household, probably some friends snuck in, and those that were open, those that she had influence over. And I think we can find a principle here as far as, like, where do I start? Because we still maintain, I don't know how to do this. But I think the Lord has given us in the Scriptures some clues of the inch-by-inch leading of the Lord for an assembly as well as for us as individuals. And before the Great Commission even came, there was this miniature commission to the 12. And if you take that as a beginning spot, even with us, as I'm, there's the rumblings going on in my heart of gospel boldness, I've started to pray, and this is actually where we're going to receive boldness. It's going to overflow from our praying for the lost. And as I'm beginning to pray and prepare, and boldness is beginning to come there, where do I start? The 12 started in their own realm. In a way, they're starting with their own household. And with them, it's the household of Israel. But they're going to people that know the Word of God a little bit, and they're looking for people of peace. People that they could go and share, and basically, these are the easiest ones. And I think there, many of us in this room were easy cases. Even if you know people that are unique and strange and difficult to get saved, but they did get saved, and these are awesome stories, the majority of Christians, I think, are easy cases. I think the majority were people of peace looking for, what must I do to be saved? A lot of them are growing up in households, and even as a beginning point, to not go to the hard spots. If we're huddled together in the room and the Lord gives us boldness, and we start just with the household of Israel. Now, I want to borrow this and say, when people get saved, if we don't go this way, what's going to happen? If I go to the streets and I lead one person to Christ, maybe I find a man of peace in a dangerous spot, and this man of peace or woman of peace responds, and her life is changed or his life is changed, suddenly their household responds and their friends respond. And then I bring maybe 10, 20, 30 people into the assembly, brand new believers. But if the assembly is not ready, if there's no crib, if there's no nursing mom, if there's no one ready to care for the babies, it's a disaster. It's the wrong kind of shaking. And if we begin first with the household of Israel, I think we'll be ready to handle more difficult cases, more needy babies, babies that need to be in the hospital a little bit longer. You know, but if we begin with our own, let's say we treat sick sheep the same way we would treat a lost sheep. So this is a scriptural thing. Remember at the end of the Gospel of John, when Peter is restored and Jesus is saying, shepherd my lambs, right? Feed my lambs, and telling them to, he says to feed twice. Is that right? And to shepherd. And what he does, it's kind of weird. I want to bring it up. But it actually shows you to treat them kind of the same way. So he says, do you love me? But then he says, feed my lambs. And he says, he does this again. Do you love me? And he says, shepherd my sheep. And then again it comes up. And he says, feed my sheep. Now, if you know kind of the terms with the lambs and the sheep, of course, the lambs are little lambs like babies. And really, a baby, even a baby sheep, especially if they're not around their mom, they need to be fed. Like, you need to make sure they're eating. And a baby Christian always needs the milk of the Word, and they need it to be held to them, and they need you to share it and share what you've received and kind of help interpret the Word. And I think it's a beautiful thing. But a sheep, a normal adult sheep, and a normal established believer, we're not normally feeding each other. We're normally, there's a shepherding going on, but you just have to be led to the green pasture. You just have to kind of know where to find it. That's why I think these brothers that have been preaching, there a lot of it is like, here's some bundles of hay, and then maybe there's a little bit of like, let me feed you a little spoonful here. But most of it is like, hey, like, it's like we just stepped in a barn, and we're like, okay, I'm going to be eating for a while, right? But that's because of the majority of sheep, probably, in our crowd. And so I think it's appropriate. It's appropriate that we should have to go back and like think about some of the stuff that were mentioned. On the fly, there's like these other, like, let me just mention this nugget. It has nothing to do with the message, but let's go. And then you're like, that's some stored up grass over here for me later. But with the lamb, you try to do that with a bunch of brand new believers. They're like, can I go home and go to sleep? Like, I'm so lost. Like, you know, as you say, as we all know, and they're like, I don't know. What do you mean? Kind of like that. So a lamb needs you to take like 5 minutes of one of those messages and like expound it for an hour, right? And so some of us might be doing that in the homes or on the side, like talking to a friend that's here or someone that's here that's a brand new Christian that doesn't understand a lot of us being referenced. But a sick sheep, a sick believer, a hurt believer, one that's not walking in their full measure right now, are so similar to a brand new believer. And if the church isn't used to nurturing a hurt believer, if it's every man fend for yourself, if it's like survival of the fittest, you know, that just does not work with sheep. Like, they wouldn't have made it, so it doesn't match in the scientific thought process. Like, sheep, they survived because, no, somebody took care of them, right? Because they would just die. But somebody took care. And so with our believers in our assemblies, if we start, let's say we start to pray for the lost. Now, I'm actually just want to use this as like, where do we start in this room? But I think it's scripturally a principle like to follow. If we start with our assemblies and we pray for the lost on one hand and for the believers on the other hand, and maybe the Lord will specifically give you some saints that need a little bit extra care. And as we're praying for them, we're learning how to spend a little extra time. It seems unnecessary, but we all need this occasionally. And we spend the time caring for one another. At the same time, we're praying for the lost and for opportunities and whatever. Maybe that hurt believer might even have an unbeliever friend or some family. But then as we're doing this, this puts us in a good spot. This gives us a womb. This gives us a big tummy, a gospel tummy that we can walk around with. If someone got saved, like, we're ready to nurse. It's weird. Sorry, don't think about it. But if someone gets saved, we're kind of ready because I'm used to helping this hurt believer. And then here's a new believer. They're very similar. And some of them bounce back really quick. Some of them it takes a lot more time because of their background or whatever. So if that's going on with us and we are this big mama going on with our prayers, then we continue to search house by house. Now, I'm still with the 12, searching the household of Israel. And what I'm thinking of with this now as I'm borrowing this picture is the household of Israel really being the church and our families and friends. Who is going to hop into Rahab's house? Who? And so I don't have any friends and family in Memphis when I moved here, but I knew somebody else who had friends and family. I knew someone else who went to school and had friends at school. And so thankfully, if there's a college student, they've got like 20 people at least that they probably know. And some of us work jobs with unbelievers, and this is wonderful. And some have cousins and family, and some have met some others. Sometimes you meet your neighbors, especially in this neighborhood, you might meet your neighbors. But I don't know anybody, but I can find a friend, and we pray together. And so we find this principle of them going out in twos. And so as you're searching around, we begin to ask others, like, hey, do you want to pray for the lost together? Now, it's a little weird, I know, but it's just normal Christian basics. Like, let's pray together. Now, thankfully, in this assembly in Memphis, I noticed that the brothers, early morning time, that there were prayers for the lost, and there was already burden for the lost. So I think even the atmosphere is already there, and it's easy to say, do you have anybody to pray for? Like, do you have a friend or somebody? I'm desperate, no. But just, do you have somebody? And as we're searching around, we may find some younger ones that have grown up here that are not yet sure of salvation. And so we help them come to Christ. Some of them may have friends that they've been partying with that are not yet saved. And as they come to Christ, we have people to work with. Every new believer that comes in becomes so precious to us, like a precious little baby. Instead of like, oh, new believer's great, we'll see how long they last, right? Instead of that, it's like, potential new believer, awesome. Like, there's a whole different mindset in an assembly that's been praying this way. They've been caring for hurt believers, and you don't say, I went to one church one time, one church group, and it was Pentecostal, and I went there, and I was like, whoa! And then, but then, while there was a song break or something, like, five people came up to me, like, are you saved? I was like, yeah. And they're like, oh, okay. And they were not excited to see me, because I was already a Christian. Now, I think that's unfortunate. Like, but if we have this heart, you'll notice that we love all Christians and we love all these unbelievers. And when a new Christian comes in, even though they have whatever background, we welcome them like we would welcome a baby Christian. And we welcome them like we would welcome an unbeliever that has, you know, we see everyone so precious because we're praying for the church and for the lost. So with that kind of environment, you can bring anybody into an assembly like that. We might not all get to pray a prayer with someone, but you're that person who comes up like Ben West and says, hey, mom, can Jeffrey live with us? You know, you're like that guy. You're the welcoming heart. And you have this broad heart for everyone. And you see the person that's alone, not pointing at Timothy at all. You see the person.
Occupated, lonely, whatever.
Yeah. You see the person like me when I came to Memphis sitting off by my side. And maybe you're a Christopher West. And he jumps up on my back. He's like, let's attack Jeffrey. And so did his friends attack me, right? And I felt so welcomed. It was because of these young guys jumping on my back, right? Graham and Christopher, maybe Abel sometimes. And so anyway, but it's that environment actually, I think, brings us through. So these 12 first started there. If we start there, I think we'll find some unbelievers hiding or some sick believers. And usually sick believers are friends with unbelievers, or friends with more sick believers. And so then you find, like, there's more and more to care for, and you begin to just be a big family that's growing. And you're not losing, the other thing is you're not losing ones. We're not losing ones that just grow up and then go off. And because we're making disciples for the sake of the kingdom, go therefore and make disciples, teach them all that you've received. So our goal is like, bring us all the way through. So when you see a hurt believer, or a believer that, just a simple believer that doesn't know much, you want to see him come all the way through to disciples. The next stage were those 70. Now I think he numbered off 70 to match up. It's kind of a weird thing, one of those like go eat some hay kind of things. Like if you go back in Genesis, there's these 70 nations numbered out when there first was this big split of nations, and you follow this. So in a way, if you get into like Daniel Chen style, is he in here? Yeah. You'll be like, you can see through the scripture, 70 is this picture of the whole world. Because there's 70 nations in the Genesis book that are mentioned, kind of these 70 names of families and stuff. And so as he sent out the 70, it's a little broader. It's like wherever I'm going kind of thing. It's still like not go into the world yet, but it's a step beyond. And if you follow it on to the Great Commission, there's a step beyond where he's saying go in Jerusalem and then Judea and Samaria. When you get to the ends of the earth, yes, you're standing up before King Agrippa, or you're using wisdom as you're at Mars Hill and you're sharing with a bunch of philosophers. If we get to that spot, we've come a long ways, and the Lord's been teaching us and giving us wisdom and winning souls. And then we're learning from each other, and we've got teams of saints, and we've got a place to bring them to. So important. So I feel like this is just a general direction of like, where do I start? If we look to our own first and begin to pray for the lost, I believe the Lord will develop in us this heart that's big enough to handle 30 new believers. How did they handle 5,000 men getting saved? You know, and then, but later on, as they went to other places and they got scattered and they went to Gentile areas, they handled multitudes of people getting saved that were like bad unbelievers, not good ones. You know what I mean? Like, they had bad lifestyles outwardly. They were all bad, really, sinners, but then they're able to handle it because of their heart for one another, and they're feeding the sick sheep, I think. Okay, so I've had so many people come through to Christ that I've seen it happen to them, and then they just never turn into disciples. And I feel like probably we can testify of this. And I feel like this is our failure. But I feel like this is an area where when we talk about entering into the promised land and going beyond kind of where our forefathers have already gone, you know, we have to consider if the Lord would move us in the direction of preaching the gospel of the kingdom and raising up disciples and going this way, like in the scriptures, where we're at, but then beyond. Because when they got saved, if you go just a generation back, you could, like they say, I think it was Dana who said maybe, like, you can spit and someone gets saved. I mean, during the charismatic movement, so many got saved. And so a lot of their stories, we just can't duplicate. But we can find some scriptural principles, starting from scratch. Starting from, here's us. The harvest is 4 months from now. But the Lord says, no, open your eyes. And then we start from the Lord himself saying, you guys got to start praying to the Lord of the harvest, because he just needs workmen. And every one of us in this room that's born again are his workmanship. And we are his workmen. He just hasn't sent us. If he hasn't sent us yet, it's because we haven't prayed to the Lord of the harvest, send forth the workers. Both cases, the 12 started to pray, he sent them out, two by two. The 70 started to pray, he sent them out, two by two. And so this is the way. The Great Commission came, they started to pray together, Pentecost happens. So as we see our own portion, maybe one major portion might be that we enter into the area of the promised land that's going to be sharing with this lost world. And we have material to work with. We have Christ to share. We don't know what we're doing. Praise God. We're at a good spot. And we're ready to go forth in, with the Lord filling us with boldness and enter into the promised land, even in this unique aspect of this adventure in discovering Christ and going forth in this land. I think that's all I wanted to mention. I feel like, remember earlier I said we're huddled in this room. We really are in this together. We we can pray in that way, like, Lord, look at the threatenings and look around us and see our own frailties and see all these things. But I believe the Lord is saying, be strong and courageous. Lo, I'm with you unto the end of the age. I'm going ahead with you. And if he goes with us, he'll teach us how to share in all boldness with the lost. So let's pray together. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for the lost, and as many as can, even if it is a very short prayer, it's even almost like a declaration, like, Lord, send forth a workman. I'm one of your workmen, and I want you to send me. Lord of the harvest, like, I'm on your team, like, so we can go forth from here in all boldness, because he's the one who sent us, and he's the one that will be with us. Let's pray. Lord, we come back to you with our eyes open, in a sense, to the reality that the fields are ready. It's our problem, actually. We don't need to wait until that perfect time. But Lord, your time is today, and the salvation is for today. Lord, we come to you as the Lord of the harvest. We come to you as your workmen. And Lord, you know we're your workmanship and need so much work. But at the same time, we say, here we are. Send us. Lord, here we are in our feebleness, with our mouths needing the touch of the coal of fire. And Lord, with our own hearts needing to be cleansed. Lord, with our own failures needing to turn into a deeper repentance unto deliverance. But Lord, we just come to you and respond and pray to you and say, Lord, send forth the workmen unto the harvest and save these lost souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, you're the one that came to seek the lost, Lord. And you found us when we were completely, Lord, hopeless. Would you burden us with the same burden of your heart, Lord, we pray? Would you place that in our hearts? It's not in us, Lord. But would you do it, Lord? We do thank you for your presence, for your promise, Lord, and we pray for the grace to respond in your precious name.
Amen. Father, I pray that you would burden us where we are. And the people who were there, that we would be praying for each one as we meet or know individually, that we would be those laborers.
Lord, sorry, that we would be bold this year, Lord, to not hesitate and to stand in your victory, Lord, and declare the victory to others, Lord, so they may stand in it as well.
Amen.
Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes to see where we can be bold, and that we would not miss opportunities to share you.
Amen.
Lord, I can't speak for others, but my mind was flooded with the sick sheep I've been neglecting. And I hypocritically prayed that you would bring in more lambs where we've neglected those that you've already entrusted with us, Lord. Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray that even now, the handful in my mind, Lord, that we'd be faithful with the ones that you've given to us, Lord. Yes. Lord, as we pray for opportunities, Lord, there's already opportunities, Lord. The harvest is already white, Lord. I just pray for even now, the brother back in Tallahassee that we met with two or three times, and then nobody else came, so we gave up. And now he hasn't been to a meeting in weeks. I just ask your forgiveness, Lord. I pray for him right now, and I pray for that meeting, that we can be restored, just sharing the truth of who you are with them, so they can grow.
Amen.
Be a strong pillar in your house, Lord. Let us be faithful with the few that you've already given us, Lord, and be open to the surrounding, as our brother shared today.
Amen.
Lord, help us to be obedient in prayer, and not just in saying words and praying for the lost in general, Lord, but that we would be open to your leading, your burden for very specific lost around us, not just lost, but as our brothers are the sick ones, and give us that burden as we pray, Lord. Help us to teach us to pray, Lord, and with your heart for the lost sheep.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, help us to go forth out of being compelled by love and seeing the value of the person rather than duty to be a good Christian, Lord, that we would just love people with the good news and the gospel and who they were created to be and how much Jesus loved them. Yes. Share the good news.
Yes.
Yes,
Lord, we pray for boldness, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. We know you are calling us, and even in my own heart, I know those who you desire that I share the gospel with, Lord. So we just ask for boldness, Lord.
Amen.
Remember our brother's message on Friday saying, show up. Lord, I pray that you will give me that desire just to show up, Lord, to be there, to be your voice, to be your voice, Lord, to be your hands. And that you will really teach us even how to share what we were before and what you did for us. And then now how we are, Lord, because of your love, because of your work, Lord. So we do pray, Lord, would you, even for myself, Lord, would you give me that boldness to share your gospel with my friends and my neighbors and those around me.
Amen.
Lord, we do repent for all the times that we weren't ones who nourish us. And even as a group, Lord, wherever we are stationed, we pray, Lord, that you would heal the ones that are already there to heal others, and that you would truly give us the endurance to continue. And all the new ones that come by and leave, Lord, forgive us for neglecting those, forgive us for not giving the word of life that they needed on their way in.
Amen.
What would you give us, Lord? You would give us. And that we would do diligently. And that we would do with all our might. For you, Lord, we will work. Please help us to get over ourselves.
Lord, we do pray that we could be quick to respond. Lord, we even pray for opportunities. Even as soon as we leave this place, even before we leave, those opportunities to respond to you. Lord, we don't want to be waiting till many of our friends have passed away and miss many opportunities. And Lord, we're so slow to respond. But Lord, by your grace, we pray you will stir our heart and you open those opportunities and cause us to come in to experience what we've heard here. Lord, we believe you're speaking to our heart. We believe you're raising up even those laborers for this harvest. Lord, we do believe there's a great harvest to be brought in these days.
Amen.
Lord, we just want to cooperate with you. Lord, we don't want to hinder you. We want to move with you and flow with you. So Lord, we just pray for many opportunities for each and every one. As soon as we would go forth, that we could respond in that obedience of faith. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, forgive me for my indifference with the sick sheep around me and the lost ones around me. Lord, forgive me for being absorbed and just being afraid or thinking that I'm better than them or just plain ignoring them, Lord. Lord, I failed so utterly in this, Lord, and I pray that you, that with this teaching that's been presented to us, Lord, that we could find ways to just find ways to act the way that you've been wanting for us to approach other non-believers. Lord, I pray that you would give us a direction, Lord, because we don't know anything, Lord. We don't know how to save people, Lord. We don't know how to be brave. We don't know how to seek the lost. We don't know how to help the other saints who are in need around us, Lord. But I pray that you would teach us to rely on you, Lord, because you want them to get saved. You want them to get help, Lord. I pray that you would help us to align ourselves with you, Lord, that we would do your work, Lord, that people would be helped and people would be saved, Lord. I pray that you would give us a direction and just give us the ability and the courage and the boldness and just the humility to be able to be like you, Lord, because this world needs you, Lord, and we need to be like you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you that we don't know how to do it,
and
that we have to rely on you. And Lord, I thank you that the word come to me, all you who are weary of heavy laden, isn't just for the lost, but it's for us, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you give us this burden. And Lord, I pray you would keep putting this on us, that we could keep praying it back to you. Lord, and I pray that you would help us to be faithful in prayer and teach us to pray these things through to where we can see it come through. Lord, that you would have mercy on us.
Yes.
And Lord, bring us through. And Lord, don't let us continue and be in the same spot in years from now. Lord, just let us see your faithfulness come through. And let us see ones come to follow after you. be sick ones come and be faithful to be laborers in your vineyard.
Amen.
To be bring ones that they know what you need. I just pray you would help us to have eyes to see and have your heart and remember what you've done for us and where you brought us from, that we can be faithful and to pray these things through. Lord, teach us your ways, Lord, and show us who you are and your sufficiency in this, that we can stand.
Amen.
Lord, we just come to you. Lord, we just say, it has to be you. Lord, we struggle in our own. Lord, we are so limited. We meet it with our own failures. But we thank you. It has to come from you. Lord, we just thank you for your heart of mercy, that just as Peter came to you after he had denied you and you looked at him and you saw his heart, Lord, you know where we're coming from. Lord, we do want to feed your lambs and shepherd your sheep. Lord, may you revive our cold hearts, hard hearts, to that fire of that first love, that we would really have that love that constrains us, that it would not just be out of a sense of obligation or out of our own might, but out of that sense of a love for you, that we would love what you love, that we'd be willing to lay down our own loves as well, or that we would really have that heart to go out and fight the good fight and defend the sheep that you've entrusted to us, or that when the lion and the bear come, that we will be faithful just to protect them, even if they're just a few. Lord, we pray we can't do this by our own. Lord, strengthen us in the strength of your might, Lord, that we might not slacken, Lord, we might not just want to be comfortable, but that we might have that heart that can pursue after you, Lord. May
Amen.
You lift us up out of ourselves, out of looking at ourselves, help us to fix our eyes upon you, that we can really follow through, that we can really be pleasing to you.
Amen.
Lord, I confess that I don't want to be a workman, Lord. I don't want to do the labor that you called me to do, Lord. I just pray that you would change my heart, Lord, but at the same time that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord,
Amen.
To enable me to do the work that you called me to do, and that I would draw my sustenance from you, Lord, and not try to find any sort of natural desire in myself to do this, Lord, and also for I pray for myself this, and also any others, Lord.
Amen.
And Lord, I have to confess that I've said I'd repent and I will change, but it doesn't seem to change always lasts in this area of having a just overcoming my fears and sharing the gospel with the Lord. And I want to experience that freedom from fear. I really do. Lord, and I ask that you just put a hunger in all of us, and any of us who need it, that would drive us, you know, to grant us this change. And this hunger and passion that we would actually be well fed by doing your will. So, Lord, I don't necessarily think it's about the results that we get or anything, it's about the heart, Lord. You know, I can't make someone, but I can do my part to sow the seed. But I want it to just be something I look forward to.
Well, we thank you for the way that you sent Moses to Pharaoh. He could not speak very good, he thought, and yet you gave him all the boldness after he was obedient to you. And you brought great change out of that man. But thank you for the example. Well, we ask you that all of us in this room will follow that example. Whether we think we know how to talk or not, whether we wait until we're sent, and then when we're sent, we would go.
Whenever you're ready.
Would you increase that love, Lord, for our brothers and sisters, those who are sick, but lost, Lord? Would you help us have compassion for those people who need you, Lord? Lord, there's so many things that can keep us from obeying you, Lord. Our fear of being feeling underqualified, Lord, of not being spiritual enough, Lord. not eloquent enough. Oh, Lord, we know it's only through you, Lord. Lord, we are supposed to be the hands and feet that reach those who need the light, Lord. Would you send us, Lord? Lord, we don't have our strength that we can go by, Lord. We don't have anything, Lord, to offer. We don't have anything, Lord. Lord, we know we need you, Lord, to do anything, Lord. Lord, fill us with your spirit. Less of us, Lord, more of you.
Lord, I thank you for the work you're already doing in our hearts. Lord, you're so faithful. Lord, we want to be as bold as lions. As bold as lions. Lord. The righteous are as bold as lions.
For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Till then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, I feel like you've spoken today, and we do just pray that our hearts would be open to you, that we would follow through with everything that you give us to, and Lord, we do believe that this is your will, and we do just pray that we would not be unwise and foolish, but that we would be wise and Lord, follow you in this, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Lord, thank you for Jeffrey's testimony, Lord, that where he failed or lacked, he continued to press on, press forward, and get up. And Lord, we just know that the enemy is out there and accusing us and trying to make us feel bad for any failures we might have. Lord, we ask that you just, we don't let that, you know, happen. And Lord, if we do stumble or whatever, Lord, just help us move forward and press on, Lord.
Amen.
Hate to interrupt the wonderful time we're having. You know, it's a good time when you skip food and discussions in order to have a prayer. And you feel like you're better for it. Food, like Jesus at the well. And it's exciting that I feel like we're stirring maybe in this area for the coming year, 2017. That the Lord really, we might have touched something precious here that the Lord wants to give us. And as we come into the fullness of this aspect of the land, our souls really, of our feet really would, in the coming year, lay hold of this. I think it's something the Lord wants to give us. So Deborah's been so kind as to fast-track dinner. It'll be ready in about 15 minutes. And so maybe parents can go get their children. Is it right? And some red set up tables in the garage and out here. Stephen?
And in the meantime, there are still some snacks so people can have
order. Appetizers.
Yeah, and then about 15 minutes we'll have the meal.
And if you can, I know it's really congested, especially if we're setting up here, but try and give them a little bit of room to get the rest of dinner ready.
That's really very timely word.
Timely for me.
Definitely timely for us here, but maybe timely for all of us. Thank you.
I think we have been like not only ready but really hungry for that message in our fellowship, like for a while now.
It seems like you guys are, the Lord's like leading you all into this already.
Crazy. I was wondering if Timothy was thinking this, but a couple of brothers weekends ago, me and him and my brother and Tim Jonathan Schmidt shared all independently testimonies about wanting to have a heart for the lost. And there's like a pushback against it. So like in the meeting, someone shares something against it. And then after the meeting, a brother came and kind of like lectured us for like almost like an hour about like, I think because it's like we see ourselves as outside of religion and like traditional, you know, we're meeting in a church, that any mention of anything that could be construed as evangelism seems like that's this over here and we're not that. And I'm like, but this is everywhere in scripture. We got to find a way to do this.
It's
like
part of the band.
Right. It's like, how is there going to be a church? Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. So, but then going from that, and since that time, there's been like kind of a radical shift. I feel like.
Well, how long ago was that?
Timothy would know. Timothy.
Years ago.
Yeah. When was the Brothers Weekend that a couple of us shared? Did that come to your mind a little bit?
It's the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting that spontaneously came out of that was a few that still had it on our heart. But yeah,
it was about five years ago. It felt like less. I knew it was probably more than I thought. But I was just telling him, I feel like we've been hungry for this, what he shared.
Yeah. Absolutely. And this year, I just heard from Josh, who got interrupted, Josh Miller. But, so, out of that time, I know came some spiritual freedom because it was a small enough group that there was some connection and some coming to the light about some things that within
the little room that was there.
In the process, we were set free to pray and be more free to move forward, I feel like, spiritually. Wants to give, and now's the time that he wanted to give it with the whole election thing.
It's actually like
it's, and
I'm so glad that we have both sides. Like, I feel sometimes when you talk about, like, coming into the fullness, sometimes it produces, like, a survival of the fittest. Like, okay, you're safe, but let's see who comes into the fullness or whatever. And, you know, if someone looks like they're not, you're kind of like, you don't got it. You know, like, and so it's awesome. But I think it is so important to come into the fullness. Like, so it just... It's so, I don't know, everything to me goes hand in hand, you know, whereas you could almost, if you didn't have each other to temper it out, you know, if you do have just pure evangelism, then you do get the, you know, they're safe, but they don't become disciples or whatever, and if you don't, if you just have the fullness without any evangelism, then you just kind of get to be like some perfectionist and like, don't get some new Christians in here, mess everything up. Yes, so, yeah. Anyway, I'm really encouraged.
It's a house that
I'm feeling so worried. stressing you out. When your friend comes and praises you, and shows you pictures of the Lord, and how to represent it, everything is also God,
without him showing me, In a way, that's how you learn how to do it. Lord, how are you doing? How are you comfortable?
Our time will be before, right after. ministry. I didn't have to talk to him.
Happy hour.
I enjoy it, but I can't really say it's a job.
It was a rest.
And so, you know, this time,
and then
I was, maybe I'm working with a lot, but I was like,
being in the South, a lot of them have knowledge, some sort of knowledge, but a lot of them don't, which kind of surprises me.
Listen to all my talks after.
I gotta give it to Ben.
Oh,
Thank you this morning, it was busy, but I'm going to thank you for your part in what this year gives to the faith. I know that it's not free, not cheap. A true sacrifice to be part of the life to hold him up and keep him the time he needs.
Lucio, this is the first time I've seen you in a t-shirt. It's a good look.
Was it?
First time I've seen you in a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's a good look for you.
It happens more often than
I'm doing that, so it's going to be too hot.
There's regular, too.
That's Memphis style?
Memphis style. Not everyone likes it that way. It's not. You're still welcome back to Memphis. Thank you.
Eat a little bit more. You can go play in a minute, but eat a little bit more. You haven't eaten very much. You played a lot today. So you need to get some more energy. What do you think? Is that good, Wallace? Okay, ask.
Together. I'm lighting up my bike for a while.
Makes me see
that.
Why don't you have a seat and take three more bites, and I'll go while I go get your cake, okay? I'll go get you a piece while you eat. Okay, three more bites. That was a bite in.
Listen to it. That is that I can have this right and it's spicy and it's that bubbles pop on my tongue and I would just like just go on and on and on. It's fine.
Okay, no more food, you
handle it! This is Jordan Brad's
immediate throw. It's precious.
They have one in the garage, and I didn't think to get it out until
she was in the area.
Oh, there he is. By the basketball goal.
You ever watch him? Like an eagle just perched in the bag watching.
Where's your mouth?
Where's
your
marshmallow? Where's your egg?
I got you.
He's trying to call
him a player. Like he's just watching you just quietly survey everything.
No, you have to stay. No, stay with Timmy.
What?
Stay with Timmy. No, no, Nerma.
I guess what? He doesn't have a choice because I got him up here.
Hey, no, Nerma.
We're going to make him, we're going to make him nerd. Dizzy.
He likes that. He likes it.
Yeah, your wife's great. Just sitting back there, taking care of the children, and then comes out, I thought I saw an escape child without a parent. Yeah. Sure enough, no shoes on.
That's right.
Underage, going to be out here. Hey, Lena Clayton. Gibeon. You guys stay over here.
No.
Just stay away from the street, okay?
Okay.
Gideon, how old are you now?
Five.
Clayton, I just asked you to stay away from the street. No, sir. No, sir. Stay away from the street. Hey, Clayton. Clayton, they're over here. Clayton, they're over here. They're right here. Don't play in the sidewalk, okay? Hey, Lena, no playing on the sidewalk, okay? Let's play back in the yard. Only in the yard. Too close to the cars.
Let's fight, guys.
Yeah! Hey, sparkly,
I'm a ninja!
Those sparkly shoes light up!
No, 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 no,
juggle, juggle. Juggle, big. Oh, you spit on me. Spit on me. Okay, out there with the other kids in the front yard, or do you want them closer? Fine. Some older kids are out there. I just told them to stay off the sidewalk. Now this guy doesn't have his shoes on. He came running out here. But the ever watchful Renee says, "Something's wrong. There's a child without a parent." And she's like, "I saw him.
Let me go get
come running through here."
Where are your shoes, buddy?
It's a logo.
It's not.
Where are logo?
It's got a pocket.
So I'm so used to them, you know.
Matthew.
What? I got it.
Matthew. Oh, damn.
Oh. Hey, you get Lena! Ah! Lena!
Can
I watch you play? Is that what you said? You can play right here where we can see you. That'd be fun. Ouchie.
What's algae? Out in the street, only because I know this guy.
What's up, man?
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good?
Good.
Thank you for your girl's help.
Oh, yeah.
For giving them rides to and from.
Oh, yeah, no problem. No problem.
You all right?
I work good today, actually.
Good?
Oh, it rained yesterday. It was going to rain tomorrow. Yeah. I'm in the middle of a landscape job. So
do what you got to do. Yeah.
I didn't even know about this. I hadn't been around.
Yeah.
For like the last second.
All right.
See ya.
It's all right. See ya. Get you down, not until you have shoes on. Are you down now? Isn't this fun raising our families together, guys?
It's not bad.
Come on, it's helpful.
No, I appreciate it. They're just playing on that. They're playing on that wall underneath
the tree right there. They're good. Vicky's babysitting. We're here.
Y'all are gonna skip out and go on a date.
I didn't think about that.
He's got tea time scheduled downtown. I don't have friends that take me there.
Sick?
Oh,
sick or something?
I don't have friends that take me there. No, it's just when we go on a date, it's usually like because there's like some suckling kid that we have in the sick kid. So we end up going to Chick-fil-A and Target.
We do go to
sometimes for security. And then go to
Target.
Sakurai.
Sakurai.
Is your name real?
At least a little
bit.
Not the only one. Hey, is there? I gotta run inside. Malcolm's around the corner with the other kids.
Okay, thank you.
FYI.
Emily, we'll be fine.
Let me run inside and find you. Sorry, he's not inside. He said you were with me. I'm going to be out at the road. I'm going to be
out at the
road.
You know what? They're not yet.
They're not.
Really good.
That's your problem.
question?
Well, I was also wondering how long to stay at the hospital.
Okay, I'm fine. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Started 15 minutes early, and also that will, they assume Daniel's going to go along, try not to make this go to 10 o'clock, and James is going to kind of wrap up the weekend with a short something.
Alright, so who's wanting to know where they
are? Joel, David, Emmy, Rosie, and Natalie. And Natalie said, I know she said I'm with the younger children, are they still at the Rhodes? Yes, they are. And then she said, and am I switching off or staying there once I, like, get there? Or am I, like, going somewhere else, being moved around, or I don't know.
Everybody is where they've been.
All right. Wherever they were this afternoon, they're back over there again. Everything is totally
probably
under control.
All want to switch. They're probably tired of it, but...
The kids are getting tired, too. My dad said, they're wearing a little thin. I said, well, I'm not... I wouldn't expect anything less. They've got one less. This is the last time, so...
But... All of those kids are too, like, Natalie, and, anyway, they're too young to go to the older group. They're, like, the same age as the kids I'm watching.
Right. No, I'm fully aware. Information about getting the bags handed, the papers handed back to the houses instead of you. Mm-hmm. Love you.
I'm just waiting for him to poop, because I'm afraid someone will hold him, and then he'll poop everywhere.
He's a baby.
And I'm also... hold him upright for a few minutes before people throw you in the air.
Just 5 minutes.
No, she was eating dinner with Mina, and then she ate a piece in the garage, and then she ate a piece of cake. So, we'll find her.
Natalie, who you're talking to, not me.
you're both still over at the Kim's. No, 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 not Kim's. Over at the Rhodes. Over at the Rhodes.
I'm at Kim's.
Okay.
What?
Can you find Ben?
Yeah,
you know where Ben is?
I saw him. He might be outside.
Hello, Malcolm.
Yeah, he's outside.
Okay.
Do you need me to do something?
What a good uncle.
Yeah, that's it.
But no one would really ever like.
That mic could be on. Jeffrey said he just turned it off.
We're being recorded, watch out.